Last week, we began a lesson entitled Foundations of Falsehood. And we're going to continue that lesson in this morning's lesson. Last week, we learned that there are many religious groups who are founded by individuals who call themselves prophets. Now, a prophet, very strictly defined, is a spokesman for God. But what makes a prophet very unique is that he must have the ability to prophesy future events. And therefore, that distinguishes him from those who are preachers and teachers of God's Word today. We also learned in that lesson that the Bible teaches that there are many false prophets that have gone out into the world. Now think about that. Here are individuals in our world today who tell us that they are prophets of the Almighty God. And yet, the Bible warns us that there are many individuals, though, that are false prophets. Yes, they look like prophets. They declare themselves to be prophets. They speak forth words that they say came from God. They may be able to perform some kind of magic trick that looks like a miracle, and they deceive the masses, don't they? Because they are false prophets. So we need a test to be able to see whether those individuals are truly men of God or not. Isn't that what John declared unto us in 1 John 4, verse 1? Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. And fortunately, God has given us several tests whereby you and I can measure whether an individual is a true prophet or whether he is just fake as he can possibly be. We talked about one of those tests last week, and it involves his ability to predict future events. And it is Moses who set forth the test in Deuteronomy 18, verse 22. For there he writes the following: "When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if a thing follow not, neither come to pass, this is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him." If a prophet predicts any future event, and that event fails to come to pass, or it doesn't come to pass exactly the way he said it was, folks, that individual is a false prophet. We should not honor him as a man of God. We should not follow any of his teachings. And any religious institution that he established, that he built, is a false religion. That religion is built upon a foundation of falsehood. Last week, we looked at three individuals and found them to be false prophets. One of those individuals is a man by the name of William Miller. He is the founder of the religious group known as the Seventh-day Adventists. He made a prediction, in fact, numerous predictions about the second coming of Christ, and none of them came to pass. One of the greatest that he made is referred to now as the Great Disappointment. We noted that there was a woman who lived through that great disappointment. And immediately following that, she began to proclaim that she received visions and revelations from God. And her name was Ellen G. White, the Savior of the Seventh-day Adventist movement. But yet, Miss White also made a prediction about the second coming of Christ, that there would be individuals living in her generation that would not die until they were translated by Jesus at His coming. Well, that generation has come and gone. Jesus has not come, and those individuals were not translated. So both the founder and the individual who rescued the Adventist movement are found to be false prophets. Thus, those religions are established, built upon foundations of falsehood, and who wants to be part of a religious group founded upon falsehoods? We looked at one other individual, and his name was Charles T. Russell. Some refer to him as Charles Taz Russell. He is the founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses. And Mr. Russell also made proclamations about the second coming of Jesus. It's going to happen in 1914. The millennial kingdom is going to be established. And if that were the case, then you and I ought to be living in the millennium right now. And if you think you are, you don't even understand what they teach about the millennium. Mr. Russell was a false prophet. And the Jehovah's Witnesses are founded upon a foundation of falsehood. And again, we ask, why would anyone want to be a part of a religion that is founded upon untruths? Upon individuals who proclaim to be prophets, teachers of God, and yet their prophecies were just as false as they could possibly be. This morning we're going to be talking about others who have made predictions about things to come. Some of these individuals have founded official religions as well, and those religions too are established upon falsehoods. Have you ever heard of this man? Joseph Smith. Joseph Smith is the founder of the Mormon religion. They don't like to be called Mormons. They think that is a misnomer. They really like to be referred to as the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Let's look for a moment at the history of Joseph Smith. He was born on December 23rd, 1805. As he was growing up, going through his teen years, there was a revival that transpired, and it is referred to as the Second Spiritual Awakening. Throughout the entirety of the United States, there was a deep interest in religious things, and it caught the attention of this young teenage man by the name of Joseph Smith. When Joseph Smith was 14, he said that he saw two, he referred to them as personages, we might just call them persons. He said that he saw two persons appear to him, and guess who they were? They were none other than God the Father and Jesus Christ, His Son. Wow, I wish that would have happened to me at 14, don't you? Now the reason that they came to him is because during this spiritual awakening, he prayed a prayer unto God. And the prayer that he prayed was this: Father, please show me the true religion. Now that's a good prayer, is it not? He saw the religious division. He saw all of these denominations calling themselves by all of these different names. And he wanted to know which one is right. What is the true religion? But when God the Father and God the Son appeared to him, here's what they told him: none of the religions on earth today are the true religion. We want you to establish that true religion. Man, there's a high calling, is it not? For certain. In 1823, he was visited by an angel by the name of Moroni. And Moroni told him about some golden plates that were buried in a particular spot. And he wanted Joseph Smith to go, and he wanted him to dig up those golden plates, because on those plates were revelations from God. Well, Joseph Smith says he obeyed the angel. He dug up those golden plates and he translated every one of those golden plates, and that resulted in what is known as the Book of Mormon. Now those plates no longer exist upon the earth today. They were taken up from here, he says. That happened in 1830, and in that same year, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was established upon the face of the earth. So it's Joseph Smith who is the founder of the Mormon religion. Let's talk about his prophecies for just a moment. We're going to mention two of them in this particular lesson. One of them has to do with the second coming of Jesus Christ. There are many individuals who follow Joseph Smith who give us a history of the things that he has said, and they hold those things in a very tight spot. They believe that these things are truths about him. Notice this one. President Smith then stated that the meeting had been called because God commanded it. It was made known to him by vision and by the Holy Spirit. It was the will of God that they should be ordained to the ministry and go forth to prune the vineyard for the last time. Now notice this. For the coming of the Lord was nigh. Even 56 years should wind it up. 1891 marked the 56th year about which Joseph Smith was talking. 1891 came, 1891 left, and guess what? No Jesus ever returned to the earth. If a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, and the thing follow not nor come to pass, this is a word which the Lord hath not spoken, the Bible says. My friends, Joseph Smith is a false teacher. There's another prophecy that he made, and it concerned the Mormon temple. When you and I think Mormons, and you and I think about the temple of the Mormons, where does our mind go to as far as geography is concerned? It's Utah, is it not? Well, there was a time when Missouri was a very important state to the Mormon people, and that was during the days of Joseph Smith. And Joseph Smith made a prophecy about the temple, and he says this, that temple is going to be built in Independence, Missouri, in this generation. Here's the prophecy. Verily, this is the word of the Lord, that the city, New Jerusalem, shall be built by the gathering of the saints, beginning at this place, even the place of the temple, which temple shall be reared in this generation. For verily this generation shall not pass away until an house shall be built unto the Lord, and a cloud shall rest upon it, in which cloud shall be even the glory of the Lord, which shall fill the house. Folks, that's found in a book entitled Doctrine and Covenants, 84 verses 4 and 5. Doctrine and Covenants is an authoritative book of the Mormon Church. Notice that he says a temple is going to be built. It's going to be built in this place, Independence, Missouri. When? During this generation. Guess what? All those living in that generation have died. And guess what? There still ain't a temple in Independence, Missouri. I'd say Joseph Smith missed it. Wouldn't you? Joseph Smith is a false prophet, my friends. The Mormon church is founded upon a false prophet. His words are empty. His words are vain. And guess what? The religion that he established is just as empty and vain as his words are. The Mormon church is founded upon a foundation of falsehood. And we need to let those individuals know. Remember, we started off last week talking about how we close our doors to people who knock on our doors? When those Mormon elders knock on your door, you need to open that door. And you need to ask them a couple of questions. Did Joseph Smith prophesy of the second coming of Jesus Christ in 1891? If they don't know, you show them where it happened. Did Joseph Smith predict that a temple would be built in Independence, Missouri, in his generation? And is there a temple there today? And the answer to those questions are no. Joseph Smith is a false teacher. And what you are practicing and what you are promoting and what you are doing, even if it's with a sincere heart, is wrong. They need to know that, don't they? And sometimes you and I are the only ones who are going to let them know. Ever heard of this man? Muhammad? Muhammad is the prophet. He is the founder of the religion of Islam. Let's talk a little bit about Muhammad's background. Muhammad lived from 570 AD to 632 AD. He died at a fairly young age, didn't he? 62 years old. In fact, they were not really ready for his death. And when he died, he did not leave any successor to follow him. And that is what has created one of the great divisions among the Islamic people today. But we could talk about that forever, couldn't we? He said he received his first revelation from the angel Gabriel at the age of 40 years old. 3 years later, he began to proclaim these revelations and these visions to people. And the Quran is the book that is supposed to contain all of the revelations that Muhammad had received. And the religion of Islam is founded upon that book known as the Quran. They have a second group of books known as the Hadiths, H-A-D-I-T-H, the Hadiths. Those books were not written specifically by Muhammad, but individuals who lived after him researched his history and researched all of his writings and all of the things that has been said, and they formulated the Hadiths, and they are just as authoritative as the Quran is. Let's look at some of Muhammad's prophecies. One of them is the appearance of the Antichrist. It's found in the Hadith, the book about Muhammad's life and his teachings. Book number 37, number 4283. Listen to what he says. The prophet, peace be upon him, said, the time between the great war and the conquest of the city Constantinople will be 6 years. Now watch this. And the Dajjal, that's the Antichrist, will follow in the seventh year. So in other words, here's what we ought to be able to do. We ought to be able to go back into history and find out, when did Constantinople fall? He says the very year after that is the year that the Antichrist will be unleashed upon the earth. So what are the facts? Constantinople fell in 1453. So what does that mean? That means that the Antichrist should have made his appearance in 1454. And guess what? Over 500 years has passed and no Antichrist. Isn't that something? Now see, most individuals would just say, well, that's not a big deal. Forget it. Folks, it's a big deal as far as God is concerned. Here's a man who calls himself a prophet. Here's a man who has predicted something in the future. And God says if a man does that and it doesn't come to pass, he is a false prophet. We need to see things the way God sees things, don't we? Because it's important. Muhammad is a false prophet. If I preach this in other nations, I'd get killed for that. You know that? I may get arrested and killed for it later on in history if they find out this thing on the internet or something. Just don't post it, guys. I'm kidding. Muhammad is not to be feared. His words should not be held in reverence, in esteem whatsoever. And the religion that he founded is a false religion. It is founded upon the foundations of falsehood, folks. You see, most people don't like to talk about these things, do they? And we certainly don't want to go out into the world and discuss them with other people. And yet we, as the church, have the responsibility of letting individuals know, don't we? I'm going to talk about one other, and this won't be popular either. Climate change. You say, oh, climate change, what's that got to do with anything? Let's talk about it for a minute. Folks, God gave this earth to man to be used for His benefit. Isn't that what He said in Genesis 1:28? And God said unto them, or God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and watch this, and subdue it. He also told them this, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over whatsoever living thing moveth upon the earth. There's two words that are found there. He told Adam and Eve, number one, you subdue the earth. What did he mean by that? He meant to conquer it. He meant to subjugate it. It is man's responsibility to harness whatever the earth has for his own benefit. He also told him to have dominion over all the living creatures upon the face of the earth. That means to rule and to reign over them. Here's the lesson. The earth was made for man. The earth was made for man. Folks, man was not made for the earth. The earth is not supposed to be the one who conquers us. The earth is not supposed to be the thing that rules and reigns over us. We rule and reign over the earth. Now we have individuals today who are called environmentalists. And many of these individuals have become the worshipers of this earth. And they believe that you and I are the enemies of this planet. Isn't that something? They are convinced that if humanity continues to do the things that they are doing, that you and I are going to destroy this earth. And not only this earth, but even our own selves. The group that is most affected are somewhere between the ages of 18 and 40 years old. There are individuals today in our world who are suffering from what is known as climate change anxiety disorder. You and I laugh at that, don't we? It's serious, though. I want you to think about it. There are young people, literally, they get up every day and they worry and they concern themselves that this earth is going to come to an end if we don't radically alter our behaviors here. You'd be amazed at some of their practices. Cut down a tree, and they will weep and they will mourn as if their grandmother had just passed away. If you don't believe that, go on YouTube and type in the videos. There are individuals today who will oppose technological advances in science that would benefit us greatly, because they are fearful that if we engage in these things, it's going to harm the planet and bring our planet to an end, even humanity to an end. We are told today that the ice caps are melting. And if we continue at this pace, those ice caps are going to continue to melt so much that the waters are going to flood the earth. Some continents will perish completely. Those who are living on the coast will either die or need to move inland quickly to save themselves. Don't we hear this all the time on the news? Every fire, every flood, every hot day, every cold day, every tornado, every hurricane, every one of them are what? They're caused by climate change. It's amazing, isn't it? I want you to listen to four prophecies made by individuals who advance the notion of climate change. The first Earth Day was in 1970, April 22nd. There was a big gathering and there was a political sponsor that was there. His name was Senator Gaylord Nelson. And on that day, he made a speech and he warned individuals there with this statement. Dr. S. Dillon Ripley, Secretary of the Smithsonian Institute, believes that in 25 years, somewhere between 75 and 80% of all species living on Earth will be extinct. I can do some math, can't you? 1970 plus 25, that's 1995. Right? Just keep that number in your mind for a moment. How about this one? On January 2006, when promoting his Oscar-winning documentary, An Unconventional Truth, Al Gore declared that unless we took drastic measures to reduce greenhouse gases, the world would reach a point of no return. In a mere 10 years, he called it a true planetary emergency. What date was it? 2006. In 10 years, we're going to reach a point of no return. We're going to be in such a condition that we can no longer recover the earth. I don't know if you know this young lady, Greta Thunberg. She's been in the news quite a bit. She's just a teenager. But she put out a tweet on June 21st, 2018. A top climate scientist is warning that climate change will wipe out all of humanity unless we stop using fossil fuels over the next 5 years. You can't pull that tweet up on Twitter. I know that's not the name of it anymore. X. Anymore. She's deleted that tweet. I wonder why. 2018 plus 5 is what? 2023. And here we be. It's amazing, isn't it? Another Congress lady. In a tweet on January 21st, 2019, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez made this statement, "Millennials and Gen Zs, which she is one of, and all these folks that come after us are looking up, and we're like, the world will end in 12 years. If we don't address climate change." Prophecies. We're going to die in 1995. There'll be a point of no return in 2016. All humanity won't be on earth in 2023. And in 2031, guess what? It's all over if we just don't address climate change. Unbelievable. 1995 has come and gone, and guess what? 75 to 80% of all the species on earth are still here. They're not gone. 2016 has come and gone, and guess what? We are not at a point of no return with regard to the climate of this world. We've already noted that 2023 is right here. We're living through it. We're about to come to the end of it. And I don't know about you, the world is bigger than it's ever been, is it not? 8 billion people. We are far from destroying all humanity. If we're going to, we better get at it quickly. Hadn't we? And my friends, in just a few years, we'll see whether all those Gen Zers and Gen Xers and all those others really have a right to be concerned about the end of the world in 2031. You know what I think? I think we've got very little to concern ourselves about. You know it? One of the questions that I ask is, why all the fear-mongering? All of these individuals have made all of these predictions, and to this day, there is still fear-mongering going on in the world. We need to ask ourselves why, don't we? Why is it going on? That's a whole nother discussion. But here's what I want us to understand as God's people. Folks, God and God alone is in control of the weather. You know what I don't want? I don't want my children and I don't want my grandchildren growing up with climate change anxiety. I don't want that. I don't want them worried about us causing the end of the world, because it isn't the truth. That's why. The Bible tells us very plainly that God upholds all things by the word of His power. Hebrews 1 verse 3. Is the word of God powerful? It was powerful enough 6,000 years ago for Him to speak and bring all things into existence, including all weather patterns. And my friends, God's Word is still upholding this world. Isn't it? Look what was promised to Noah after the flood. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night, shall not cease. Isn't that something? As long as the world remains, we're going to have consistency of seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night, and guess what? There ain't nothing man can do to change it. Why? Because God decreed it. That's why. I love this verse, Proverbs 8, verse 29. This is what the text says. God gave to the sea His decree that the waters should not pass what? His commandment. The ice caps are melting. The ice caps are melting. All continents are going under the water. No, they aren't. God set the bounds of the sea. And He told the sea, you will not go any further than right here. Does our Lord have the power to command the winds and the sea? He did on stormy Galilee, did He not? My friends, He still has that power in His hands today. The Bible tells us this, God created the earth and formed it to be inhabited. Isaiah 45, verse 18. When God created this earth, He knew exactly what was going to transpire on the earth. He knew exactly how many people would live on the earth. He knows exactly how much we need as far as resources are concerned in order to take care of ourselves. And God is going to provide that for us until He says it's time for this earth to pass. My friends, man will never destroy this earth. Now, I'm not saying be individuals who are not conservative individuals. I'm not saying for us to be poor stewards of the earth. All I'm saying is this, we need to quit all the doomsday stuff and don't believe any of that stuff. There will come a day when this earth ends. We need to be preparing for that day. And there's nobody on the face of the earth who knows when that day will come, do we? But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The earth shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. My friends, one of the tests of the prophet is the truthfulness of his or her message. If the prophecy does not come to pass, the person is a false prophet. I'm sorry about that. It's just the case. That person is not to be feared. His teaching should be rejected, and any religion that he establishes should be rejected. Because it's founded upon what? A foundation of falsehood. I got to thinking about something. And the thing that I thought about was this. Are many of these religions that we've talked about here still in existence today? Yeah. Seventh-day Adventists, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, Islam, they're all still here. And I thought, man, why are they still here? Those religions should have been eradicated long ago. As the moment those people prophesied falsely, those religions should have gone under, shouldn't they? I want you to listen to some things. Because a prophet is no longer with us, doesn't mean that he can now be honored. You see what I'm saying? One of the reasons they're here is because those men have been gone for so long. They've been dead 100, 150, 200 years. And so people don't think about those individuals anymore. How about this one? Because a religion has been around hundreds of years does not mean it's been built upon a solid foundation. When a person looks at their religion and they say, my religion has been here 300 years. That's a long time, isn't it? But just because it's been around a long time doesn't mean it has a solid foundation. Because hundreds and thousands of people belong to a religion does not mean that that religion is approved by the Almighty God. I want you to think about this. 1/6 of the world's population are Muslims. 1/6. That's a huge group of people, isn't it? And just because 1/6 of the world's population believes something doesn't mean that it is solid and secure and steadfast. Because a person is comfortable in his religion does not mean that that religion will not come crumbling down one of these days. You want to know the test of a true religion? The test of a true religion is whether that religion will stand in judgment. You know that? Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Matthew 15:13. I better make dead certain I'm in the right place. You know that? Folks, God didn't establish 10,000 religions. He established one faith and one faith only. He created one body and one body only. There's one truth and there's one truth only. Just as there is only what? One God, one Lord, and one Holy Spirit. And according to Paul in Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6, the way one enters into that one church is by the one baptism. Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? Have you been baptized for the forgiveness of sins? Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16. We plead with you to do that. Believe in the Christ as God's Son. Die to that old way of living. Stand with pride and courage and announce His name to the world. Confess Him before men. We'll bury that old man of sin and you'll arise today a new creature in Christ. Not long ago, we studied Revelation 21 verse 8 in our Bible class on Wednesday night. We found it interesting that the very first thing noted in that verse is this, "But the fearful shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone." My friends, you and I cannot be fearful to proclaim and also to defend the precious religion known as Christianity. And if we are fearful, if we have been fearful, we need to repent of that. And we need to become a militant church and spread the gospel throughout the entirety of the world, because there are many false prophets and false religions in this world in which we live. Do you need to repent of sins? Do you need the prayers of the church? Won't you come as together we stand and as we sing?